At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have. Summer not heat never treats me kind.
It leaves trouble on my mind.
So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another
sing
time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't
not
care.
Even kind of care.
Heading my way
for another place.
And I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, as the kids call it. Ready?
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, the not so live variety from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And we went live last week on y'all. We went live last Monday, and so many of you low lifers showed up, and it was a great, great time. But we are back not so live this week, and this is the podcast for Monday, November the 20th. It is the week of Thanksgiving, and I'm very thankful for so many things, like the low lifers. Very thankful for all you low lifers that tune in each and every week. I say it every week, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And last week, man, on the live, holy crap, the triple threat, it was so cool. She hadn't done a live in a really long time, and we're walking back to the house from the bar and grill, and she goes, man, things have changed. Things have changed for the better. I mean, it was crazy keeping pace with how many of y'all were on there and commenting, and she remembers, you know, just a few years ago when we were doing this, and it was a good crowd. It was a loyal crowd, but it wasn't that big of a crowd at times. And we're in there doing Instagram live, low budget live from the dang living room here at the Traveling Circus headquarters. And so it was awesome, man. It was awesome. And I'm glad that so many of y'all seemed to enjoy that. And she loved it. And I loved having her mix it up with the low lifers. And she's a character now. And she can hold her own with this rowdy bunch. There's no doubt about it. And we got some requests to do another live here soon. And maybe the triple threat dish out some gift ideas for the lady, you know, the ladies, the wives and girlfriends of the low lifers out there, the male low lifers. And maybe we will do that. Maybe we'll do that here pretty soon, but thankful for all of y'all for showing up and every week, you know, showing up and showing out. And it's been a wild ride, man. It's been a wild ride. Life is good, though, and I'm thankful for everything going on in life right now. I teased it last week on the live, and I teased it the week before on Bass U Live, and Pete Glusick said, you're worse than Iaconelli. You're making an announcement about an announcement. But last week on Tuesday, the day after we did the live, Alabama Bass Trail announced that, and in Kay Donaldson's words, I am the voice, the new voice of the Alabama Bass Trail. I'll be emceeing the events there for the Alabama Bass Trail 100s and the Alabama Bass Trail Team Series in both the North and South divisions, and I'll be helping with the live coverage. Stupid dumb Darian, stupid dumb y'all sweet tea Darian will be joining me as well. We're getting the band back together and looking forward to spending a lot of time with him next year. We we don't get to hang that much anymore, man. The last couple of years, he's been so busy becoming the sweet tea czar, but we're going to join forces there with our other buddy, Jason Duran, doing the live coverage. And man, you know, I said this in a video I posted that it's very much, I feel like I've been a part of the ABT family for a long time. I fished the inaugural couple seasons, the majority of them anyways, back 10 years ago. I fished last two seasons with Little Trey in the ABT 100s. We've had some success there. I filled in for the great Robbie Floyd a couple of times this past year and just truly enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. It's Kay runs one of the most professional trails in this country to be a quote amateur trail. And anybody that fishes would agree with me on that. It is she runs a tight ship and her team, that they're fantastic, man. And they have welcomed me with open arms when I've been at the events, either as an angler or working. And so I cannot wait for 2024. Robbie Floyd, you know, those are huge shoes to fill. He's a guy that, I looked up to him, seeing him on Bassmaster Classic coverage on freaking ESPN. And he's a guy that you hear that voice and you know it, in my opinion, if you keep up with the sport at all. And I thought back in 2013, your late 2012, when the ABT was announced and when Kay announced that he would be the MC, and I was competing in that first season with a friend of mine, I just remember that feeling of, holy crap, this is big time. This is big time, because it seemed like such a, for a new trail and to only be a quote, you know, Alabama trail, which anglers from multiple states compete. And man, she's kicked out so many folks to the Elite Series of the Bass Pro Tour. I mean, goodness gracious, the talent that comes through there and the talent that still fishes every single Alabama Bass Trail event. Toughest, one of the toughest trails in the country, without question. But I remember thinking, that's big. Just remember seeing that and thinking, how cool is it going to be to go on the weigh-in stage with Robbie Floyd? And getting to know Robbie over the years, he's an awesome human. He's somebody that I've learned a lot from. He's somebody that I've loved getting to know and cutting up with. And the shoes that I'm going to feel, I would love to look right at this camera and say, it's going to be easy. I'm not that guy. They're huge shoes. I know what Robbie meant to the ABT family, to the ABT anglers. And he's like me. He's super busy. He's got a lot going on. And so he's not going to, you know, be able to do it full time this year. So it's an honor, though, that I got thought of whenever she needed somebody to fill in last year when Robbie had a conflict. It's an honor that I am someone that she decided to make a phone call to be the new, quote, voice of the ABT. And, man, it's something that I certainly take serious. I have nothing but an immense amount of respect. I cannot say that enough for each and every angler that fishes the Alabama Bass Trail. I've competed against so many of them since I was a kid with my dad and team tournaments and then BFLs and, you know, Bassmaster, whatever, you name it, local freaking Tuesday Nighters. A lot of these folks I've known for many, 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 many years. And they're just absolute, just animals with a rod and reel. And so many fun and familiar faces. And I actually said this a couple weeks ago on the show that is the heartbeat of bass fishing and that team tournament trail level. And it really is, man. The camaraderie there is unmatched. And so I could go on and on and on all day, but I want to say thank you for the well wishes. When I post the video, the positivity, and this is a text I got from Kay Donaldson, said that she was blown away by the positivity. And a lot of times I think we do, me in particular, I focus on the negative. You get a couple negative comments, but man, this was mind blowing. Darian even called and goes, "Damn, dude, like people are really excited." And so I was nervous the day of the announcement. I truly don't get nervous that much these days. And I woke up Tuesday morning before the press release came out and was a little nervous, just because, man, it's when you're someone that is as honest as I am at times, and I try to be transparent and I'm not afraid to give you my opinion. You rub people the wrong way. And I see comments a lot when people make nice posts about me, when folks say things like, you know, what a piece of garbage I am, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I understand that I have people that are fans of Luke Duncan and people that aren't. And it's been that way my entire life. And I'm fine with it, of course. But it was awesome to see the overwhelming positivity around that announcement. And we ride into 2024. I've had a bunch of questions. I am still with MPFL, 1,000,000%, 1,000,000%. These two have kind of worked together on this a little bit, and I'm thankful for them for being cool with the fact that I'm going to be, you know, working all over the place. And that's one thing about the MPFL. They're very grateful for every opportunity I get as well. And they want me to be able to do what I can to provide for my family and to be able to just, you know, love life, man. Like, these jobs, I will never take for granted. I remember when the phone didn't ring. I remember when, you know, you're just beating your head against a rock fishing or doing this podcast in my freaking bedroom 6 years ago. And, you know, and there were a select group of people listening, but it wasn't what it is now. And I remember those days, and the work's not done. I am proud to run all over this country and represent people that respect me enough and think enough of me to give me the reins to these kind of positions. So, on this week of Thanksgiving, I can assure you, I am very thankful for that. And y'all have heard me talk. There's a lot of changes in my life forthcoming, and we'll get into those as we go along. But right now, man, life is good. Things are, and all of the changes are positive. But things are certainly on the up and up around here, and it's largely because of folks like you that tune in each and every week. So again, just want to open with that this week. Ramble like crazy, but I really do appreciate the fact that this platform is heard and enjoyed by so many. So thank you. And 2024, man, it's gonna be some roads running, and it's no different than ever before, I guess. But we're gonna be wide open from about January to June, that's for damn sure. But it's gonna be an awesome season. Let's thank some sponsors real fast, and let's get into the show. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth in your weed eater and your chainsaw. But most importantly, in your outboard engine. If you are storing your boat for longer than 2 weeks this time of year, and so many of us do that, make sure you drop a little StarTron in your tank. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth. ProGuide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com is where you can use code LBL10. LBL10 at checkout is going to save you some money on ProGuide batteries. I'm running ProGuide trolling motor batteries, the trolling batteries, and I said this last week, but I made a switch and started playing around with one of their lithium cranking batteries, and that's kind of it's a different segment for these guys. I've been a big AGM guy on my cranking stuff. The ProGuide 31 series AGM is rock solid. It's bulletproof. But dude, I'm going to tell you, man, I was running the 24 size, 24, and Ryder and I fished the tournament last weekend, and I'm running over 13 volts all day, running pumps, not cranking up and running around. My power pole charge will keep everything charged, but not running around too much on a small lake, you know. Three graphs, absolutely turned up all the way. Nothing in sleep mode because I'm lazy. Aerator pumps running because we caught a limit in the first 10 minutes. Incredible. And I had 13.1 volts at the end of the day after a 7-hour tournament. So, and that's a live scope, but that's, I mean, stupid. Okay. Like, I have stared at a graph a lot and watched those numbers, and just amazing. So, probably going to bump that up a little bit. They've got some new stuff coming as well. But ProGuideBatteries.com, LBL10. Check them out there. Been in the battery business for 40 years. They're not a fly-by-night company. BaitWorks.com, bait-wrx.com. You can use code Duncan-10. Don't forget the dash, D-U-N-K-I-N, Duncan like the donuts. Duncan-10 to save you money on all the good old tackle there at bait-works.com. Do not order it if you do not want it. Do not order it if you don't want it showing up at your door. If you're trying to hide that from your wife, might want to make sure she's gone for a little bit before you hit send. Baitworks is also where you can get the LOB jig, the power finesse jig, with the 3-0 custom trocar hook. Look, I keep them all right here in front of me. Available in 7 fish catching colors, like the new PB&J that was added right there. But finer than frog hair skirt material. I'm really proud of this jig. Really proud of it, the way it turned out. my man Stick at Baitworks. He's the man. He really worked hard on this one with me. We're doing a special classic color we're working on right now that I am fired up about. But all these colors, with the exception of PB&J, I truly, like, if I put three strands of this and two strands of that, that's what it is from what I tied here in my garage. And they hooked it up for sure. So Power Finesse Jig, 3/8 and 1/2 available in that. You can pick them up. If you know a tackle store that wants these, you can shoot me an email and we'll get them hooked up as well. It was a Baitworks exclusive for the first year, but we're rolling on. If you want it, it's going to be an online exclusive at Baitworks. But if you've got a local tackle store you want them in, get them while they're hot. And I keep hearing things from, like, the Ozarks, Lake of the Ozarks, and Table Rock Lake. Of course, that's where Baitworks is really centered up, and they are doing work out there in that part of the world. Bait-WRX.com, Duncan-10. All right, last but not least, hang the imaginary banner. Express Boats. I am fixing to say goodbye to that beautiful X21 LE. We have found a new home for this year's boat. 21 feet of fury, 96-inch beam, but whenever we hand it off, we're going to be picking up the new 21 LE. That's also 21 feet of fury and 96-inch beam with a Yamaha show and the fastest hole shot in the game, and it's got that sea deck bow to stern. Amazing tackle storage. I'm super pumped to be running the LE again this season. That boat is, again, my favorite bass boats. While I was talking to the gentleman that's interested in this year's about it, I'm like, man, it's just I can't say this enough how much I enjoy fishing out of that Express platform. It's stable. The tackle storage is just stupid, and I can fish this deep, or I can fish however deep I want to. Wind, waves, who cares? I'm not limited at all. 50 gallons of gas, the X21 Pro. Listen, everybody's pinching pennies right now. Interest rates are stupid. If you are in the market for a new boat, I'll promise you, and you're thinking, man, look at these fiberglass boats are over $100,000. They're fantastic. Fiberglass boats are great. But if you are looking for something that doesn't break the bank in comparison, that you will not sacrifice to have a fully rigged tournament bass boat, amazing live wheel system, the whole nine yards, check out an Express dealer. Get you an X21, get you an X19. You will not be, you won't be disappointed. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. Got Lee Livesey on the team now, too. Lee Livesey, old Lee, big Lee. Going to get to see Lee here in a couple weeks at an event. All right. Thankful for the folks from Express right there. Good people, family, too. And that's what overwhelming theme with Express. And you feel like that when you're a customer as well. Bassmaster News. Bassmaster News. I need a Bassmaster News button. I don't know. I don't think I have one. I don't think that's it. I don't think the drum beat button was it. I need it. You can do a lot with this little machine I've got, but I'm pretty limited to my sounds that I have put on here because I'm lazy. David Fritz announced he is retiring from Bassmaster. What a freaking legend. And also Larry Nixon retiring, which led to Jordan Lee, the champ, the two-time Bassmaster Classic back-to-back champ, Jordan Lee, going back, making him a little jump. I teased that on live last week, but he's making him a jump back to the Bassmaster Elite Series, Jordan Lee. But let's talk about David Fritz, and let's talk about Larry Nixon real quick. Because if anything ever, you know, on this show, I want to be able to express, if anything ever happens like this, I've got to say, those two guys, when I grew up, you know, a 90s kid watching Bassmaster on TNN, those two dudes, and watching FLW tours in that same time frame on ESPN, those two guys, they just literally are the names of my youth. Those are guys that I looked up to immensely, man. I've got a picture at my mom and dad's house of my brother and I at a Bassmaster Classic with David Fritz in the old Lewes booth. I had a Lewes cranking rod I begged for Christmas when I was like 15, a David Fritz cranking rod, like in a Lewes cranking reel. Like, I begged, I begged. I loved to crank, and I loved to crank because of David Fritz. I still love to crank this to this day because of David Fritz. I mean, loved it. And I would just watch videos, and I would go to tournaments, and then when he was on stage, I would just hang on every word about how he was catching them. And he was just this offshore guy out there cranking, and it seemed like he was in the abyss, but the crankbaits we had back then didn't really even run that deep. But he was just dredging them up on a Pose 300, and then he got into the wrap. I remember the Risto Wrap crankbaits that Rapala had, and this guy has just been – and then, I mean, he was influential in the DT series. And then he goes to Berkeley, and he was influential in so many baits there. And this guy is just, I mean, monumental in my life. And I've never had him on the show. I would love to have David on, and I'm going to try to do that this off season. I know David deer hunts a lot. David and I have some mutual friends. Don't know David that well, other than just meeting him a couple times. Such a bass fishing hero of mine, such a Mount Rushmore of bass fishing name for me growing up, especially. And hate to see he's hanging up the cleats, but man, what a, the Fritz Blitz, man. Holy crap. Like I could probably do 2 hours just rambling about David Fritz memories and some of those runs he went on in the '90s, man. Just, and God, with a flasher, still has a flasher on his boat to this day. Just get out of here, man. A legend for sure. And then the general himself, a man I am proud to call a friend. It gives me chills when I say that, to be honest, because again, this guy, Mount Rushmore for me, bass fishing, Larry Nixon. He is stepping back. He made the switch to the Elite Series a couple years ago, runs with my buddy Joey C. Larry is, he's just amazing, man. If you've been around him in any capacity at all, you know that he is just one of those larger than life characters, not only in bass fishing, but just in life. And he is, he's just something, man. He's something. He's so, you look at, and to me, again, one of those names of my youth, but that Bassmaster intro with him, oh baby, please stay pegged, with that big one. He like looks away from the fish as it's jumping. It's over 10 pounds down at the Harris chain during a mega bucks on an old Berkeley power worm. The big hat on, dude. Come on, man. That is just injected into my veins. Larry Nixon right there. That da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's just bowed up on a giant with like a pistol grip rod. Freaking Larry Nixon. Come on. If any of you young fellas out there and ladies are watching this, you can go look up some TNN Larry Nixon clips. I remember him like winning an FLW Tour event on St. Clair with a fluke and a spook, and I thought that was just epic. I remember that event when FLW Tour was on ESPN, when JM and Associates were doing the coverage. It was incredible. Change fishing coverage forever. But I remember Larry, you know, he's fishing both back then, but he was the first ever bass fishing millionaire. I mean, and I remember that. I can close my eyes and see the picture of him the day that happened. But just one of those icons that I was fortunate enough to fish against him on the FLW Tour. And I've told this story before on the show, but before we move on, I'll tell it again. This is one of my dad's favorite like situations that he's ever been around me in. But I fished as a co-angler, obviously, on the tour a few times, and then fished an entire season in 2015 before I made the switch over to the front. And I also, for TH Marine back then, I would do service crew work. I would go, and even when I was fishing co-angler, I would go and work on jack plates, and I would work on things. And that's really when I got to know a lot of these guys. And I was handling pro staff and things back then when TH was family-owned, and all of us kind of wore a lot of hats, and this was awesome. Like I was just big eyed and getting to hang out with freaking Larry Nixon and Jimmy Houston and so many different people. And Larry was always tearing stuff up. That's for sure. But I had to work on Larry's stuff several times. And when I made the switch and I qualified to go fish out of the front in 2016, I think was the year I went. And Larry, we're at the meeting at Okeechobee, and TH had me working a little booth there or whatever. I'm handing stuff out, and Larry comes through the line. He goes, Hey, I came by the TH Brand service trailer and you weren't there to work on my jacket. And I got my jersey on, you know, I'm like, I'm here, man. I'm an FLW Tour Pro. And he's like, I came by the trailer and you weren't there to work on my jack plate. And he like winks at me. He's like, I need it worked on. Can you come check it out? Knowing I'm on the roster, also not caring that I'm on the roster because he's going to kick my teeth in because it's Larry Damn Nixon. He thought that was the funniest thing that he ever said to anybody. And I was like, he really only thinks I'm here to work on jack plates. I'll never forget the first morning of the tournament. I pulled into my starting area and there's damn Larry right there. It's like, welcome aboard, rookie. And you look over and there's the damn general. And he's like, hey, what are you doing over here? Why aren't you working on my jack plate? You come work on it on the water. And this was just like the constant joke for years on the FLW Tour competing against Larry. And he's like, hey, this thing's making a noise. Can you come check it out? What about my hot foot? Hey, come over here. I know you're trying to fish, but I'd like for you to look at all my gear and take care of it. But Larry Nixon is such a character, man. Such a character. And again, proud to call him a friend and hate to see him go, man. But also at the same time, it's bittersweet because I'm glad these guys can hang up the cleats, right? Because fishing is one of those things that you can do it forever. We got Rick Klun, I think, entering his 50th season or something like that, as well as 50th tournament season. It's insane. He's still out there. He's still got the drive. He still wants to do it. Another one of those Mount Rushmore names for me. But congrats to David and Larry Nixon on getting to retire. Now, that being said, again, little buddy Jolie, Jolie, going back to the Elite Series. Don't know why I just did that. Dolly Parton ruined the Tennessee Vols game. We would have never lost. We'd have beat Georgia if it wasn't for Dolly. Just kidding. Dolly's a Tennessee treasure. But her and Peyton together did ruin that game. If we're just jumping around, she's not allowed back at Neyland. But Jolie, back to the Bassmaster Elite Series. Based on the fact there were two legend spots, Nixon and Rick Klun getting those to get back in. Nixon steps down. It allows Jolie to get in. Now, I do know there were several of the MLFers, the BPT guys that are legend spot worthy, which is, I think it's Bassmaster Angler of the Years and Bassmaster Classic Champions. It's how you get that spot. Joe winning two classics, beep, beep, bumps him up the list, top of the list. You know, you got guys like Cliff Pace in that crowd that are leaving BPT. That's a classic champ. He could have got the spot. You've got so many. You got a Luke Clawson that's a former classic champ. You got Randy Howe, it's a former classic champ. You got Mark Davis, that's a former classic champ. Boyd Duckett somehow won a classic. Somehow. Jesus. Take the wheel. But there's several. I could name them all out. Edwin Evers, obviously, classic champ. But several. But there were some that reached out to try to get back, but Joe was at the top of the list there. And he accepted the invite. And no matter, man, I've seen people comment, it's not right. He gets back in. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. If Bass has that in place, that Legends exemption, and you decide to take it and you won not one but two Bassmaster Classics, hey, Internet, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Because he definitely should not have to go through Bass Fishing Purgatory, the Opens, to get back there. Period. End of freaking story. I don't care what you think about it. Trust me, he belongs at that level and should not have to fight his way back. I get that they left. I know there's some politics in that. There are people that are probably not happy that these kind of things happen. But at the same time, dude, you win two classics. And it wasn't like you won them 400 years ago. He won them in the last 10 years. If you, like, send him back. This guy's won everything in the sport. Jolie back to the Elite Series. It's going to be awesome seeing him mix it up with some of the folks he's never fished against. And I know he's really excited about that. I've seen some comments. It's been overwhelmingly positive, but there have been some people bitching about it, like Randy Blockett. Randy Blockett. Somebody sent me a message saying, Blockett, I don't watch any Randy Blockett videos. I would never subject myself to it, I don't think. But Blockett's bitching about the legend spot. And I think, man, when you're just relevant for bitching about LiveScope and then you're just got to try to find content and your bitch is that someone is a legend and being treated as such – I just think it speaks volumes that you're just never, I mean, come on, dude. Like, go sit down somewhere. Oh, just keep making live scope videos. Randall Blockett. And I guess, you know, jealousy's a bitch because it's like, if somebody's considered a legend, that's for good reason. And damn, Jordan Lee is a legend. He's a young man, but he is a legend in the sport of bass fishing, way more than Randy Block. And I know, hey man, I make videos bitching about stuff too. I do. And I'm not saying my opinion's better than Randy's, but I think on this one, you need to sit down somewhere. It's just dumb. You're just trying to, I get, look, dude, YouTube is full of people that just try to make videos to get views on their opinions now, and they go live, and it's just bass fishing has exploded with that. And it's interesting for me to watch it because I was a guy that didn't necessarily do it for views. I just did it because it was a platform. And now it seems like, a lot of people see that that's, or seem to think that's what they need to do, trying to go quote viral. And it's just silly, but hey, negative comments, dude, if you get people stirred up, which Randy, like, I'm giving him love right now, right? Like, he's getting love out of it. Those comments, when you post stuff like that, it drives that algorithm up, gets it rolling. It's good. You get people fighting amongst each other in the comments, dude, that's the best thing in the world. That's the business part of it. And he knows that, dude. Blockett is very smart with all this stuff. So, but I do have to say, stop bitching about somebody being a legend, homie. Okay. Speaking of non-legends, legends for train wrecking professional bass fishing, Boyd Duckett news, MLF news, but Boyd Duckett news, Boyd pissed off enough people that he got back in. He literally pissed off enough people that he got to fish the Bass Pro Tour again or show up, be there. And if he's happy, I'm happy. You know, go, good for you, Boyd. I'm glad that you, because a lot of anglers left. And I want to run down this list. Some didn't requalify, however the hell that works. You know, they haven't really dropped anybody, I don't feel like, yet, but they haven't had to. But they had to dig deep. The BPT roster came out after Jordan Lee made his monumental announcement. The BPT roster, imagine that, came out, and they had to dig deep in the Tackle Warehouse Invitational's Pro Circuit, former FLW Tour, RIP Forestwood Cup standings to fill the field. And a buddy of mine, like a Josh Weaver, got in, who has definitely worked his ass off. He won a Pro Circuit event. He's an amazing angler, but he's going to get a chance to go at it for 1 year. You got to go catch him, obviously, because you're one and done if you do not with this new format, and if you don't finish in the top 10, however that works. Now, look, if they like you, they can change the rules. We've seen that. You know, I know they sent out an email this week, Bobby Lane going back 1 year in the Opens, didn't make it. Ruh-roh Reggie, this wasn't as much fun as I thought it would be. Now he's back to the BPT. Hey, Boyd, I would have loved to have heard that phone call, but they have a Legends exemption also, obviously. Now, Bobby Lane, who they did not let fish Red Crest, okay, he was the Red Crest champ, which qualified for this year's Red Crest at Lake Norman, and they didn't allow him to fish it, okay? Keep this in mind. Keep up. I don't have poster board. I threw away all the poster board. Keep up. But they did not let Bobby Lane fish Red Crest, even though he was qualified, because it says that you have to be a BPT angler. Didn't let him fish it, okay? Bobby was planning on fishing Red Crest at Lake Norman. Didn't allow him to fish, but allowing him to come back. And they sent out an email, and all the contracts are signed. Everybody's raring to go for next year. All the contracts are signed. And they sent out an email to the anglers this week stating there's rules change. And even though Bobby and the rules apparently had stated that your career average, you couldn't sit out a year and then come back and that year count in your career average. You see what I'm saying? Like, you should have a zero, like a big hole in your deal. And look, Bobby, I'm a Bobby Lane fan. This is not taking shots at Bobby, but it's just funny how it constantly changes, because like the week Jordan leaves, then Bobby's coming in hot. And so Bobby, as Fat Cat says, rules change. He can use his career average, and it's like he never left. And that's this year will be included in that, and next year will just be, last year will just be a scratch. And that sucks, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Again, I like Bobby. That sucks. It really sucks. And of course, they don't want to lose him again. So now they're trying to do whatever they can, I guess, there. Imagine that. Changes like the wind. So anglers that are out, some of these I think are because of qualifications. Some of these, you know, but you have guys getting back in because enough anglers quit. But here we go. Tommy Biffle out. Mitch Crane out. B. Height is out. I think that was a choice. Jeff Crete is out. Not sure on that one, but he's an owner. He's an owner of MLF. He's out. Josh Butler is out. Roy Hawk is out. Timmy Horton, of course, he retired. We were throwing retirement parties for him, and then they changed the format to five fish, and he went back. But he's out again. He's also an owner. Russ Lane out to the Bassmaster Opens. Jordan Lee to the Elite Series. Cody Meyer out to the Bassmaster Opens. Cliff Pace, former Classic Champ, 2013 Classic Champ, out to the Opens. Randall Tharp out to the Opens. KVD retired. His timing was impeccable. He's sitting somewhere right now in a deer stand going, holy, thank God I did that. What a dumpster fire. And he's an owner. So Van Tam is out. Some names that went back that I was surprised to see for sure that I had heard were reaching out and were trying to get to bass, but they decided to go back. And look, you get to go fish against, you know, however many dudes, it's 80, but you get to go fish for big money, live coverage. I get all that. So I understand why you wouldn't go forth with jumping into the Opens if that was your only choice. Now, somebody else that signed up for the Opens, Mike McClelland, fishing hero of mine, good dude, very, very good dude. I felt like, and I've talked about on this show, he was like disrespected in a major way because they let folks like Jeff Sprague fish. They let Tim Horton come back after he announced his retirement. Now, look, in the point standings, I'm sure Tim, I guess he was ahead of Mikey, and they let him come back even though he'd already stepped away. And Mike was the first owner that got slapped on the wrist because of the point standings and sent to the tackle warehouses, and then he went to the Toyota Series and did all that. And Mike is signed up for all nine Opens. Former Elite Series champ, dude's a hammer, and he signed up for the Opens. He's an MLF owner. I think that's a very loud statement. I've not talked to Mike about that, but I'm just saying there's a lot of these you can read. You can just, like, the silence is deafening, right? You get what I'm saying on that? It's a shit show. It is a shit show. But hey, they signed Suzuki. Suzuki's down the official outboard. So take that, everybody. Let's see. After contract, I've got notes this week. But so those are the guys going to the Opens. Some other couple shocking names in the Opens. Laker Howe, Randy Howe's son. I follow along. I love the Howe family. Good people. Randy and Robin. And I see Laker Howe's name. Again, he's not officially announced this, but Bassmaster released the EQ list for the Opens for next year, and Laker Howe's on it. I think that is an obvious statement on where, again, silence is deafening, on where people are, what their mindset is right now, right, with all this. Bo Browning, Stephen Browning's son, another BPT son, also on that EQ list for next year. Okay, so Randy Howe's son and Stephen Browning's son. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I'm going to end with this before we get to our guest. And I'm never surprised, but I want to read this. I was sent this last night, and I won't say the angler, even though he doesn't care if I say it. I'm just not going to say it. But he reached out to good old Boyd Duckett in a text message once Boyd's name came out on the angler roster. And he says this to Boyd: with all due respect, Boyd, I am requesting you run this business with every bit of focus and not fish against us. I'm saying this to you as a man who is making a good living with your platform. I would appreciate it if you'd focus all your efforts to the league and got that guys like myself depend on and need this platform to survive. I have a huge problem with you being a conflict of interest at this point. And this is the CEO of Major League Fishing's response. I've always made sure that it's never a conflict of interest. Do I have a freaking laugh button? Let's start that again. I've always made sure that it's never a conflict of interest. I'm going to go crappie fishing and get a 3-minute penalty. Come on. Definitely not a conflict of interest for Boyd. No way. I like that noise. I work as hard as I can to try to provide you and the others the best platform for your success. Just like you, I also love to fish tournaments. Doesn't seem fair for you. Here we go. Hang on. Here we go. This is the best part. It doesn't seem fair to ask me to work hard for your enjoyment and then deny me that same opportunity. It doesn't seem fair to ask me to work hard for your enjoyment and then deny me the same opportunity. He probably said that. He probably typed that, lean back in the chair. Dude, I am sorry, but that cat right there is despicable as the day is long and just tone deaf. But now look, to be fair, a lot of CEOs and a lot of very successful folks are very much tone deaf, and they're very arrogant, and they don't have to listen to anybody, or so they think. So whatever. Again, if the whole thing folds tomorrow, Boyd will sit on his back deck in his mansion on Gunnersville and everything will be fine. He doesn't give a shit. But it is, it's just amazing to read that. And that is 1,000,000% his words. Also, it appears that he has an Android phone, that Boyd has an Android, and I got a problem with that. Of course he does. He's a freaking robot. It doesn't seem fair to ask me to work hard for your enjoyment and then deny me that same opportunity. Dear God. But I'm also the CEO. But I'm also a client. What was that? Hair Club for Men. I'm a member. I'm a user. I'm also a client, or whatever that old ad used to say. All right, moving on to our guest today is one of the hottest hands in bass fishing, has been for many, many years. But he's a young man. He's a young man. He made a big announcement this week that he is going back to the Bassmaster Elite Series. Got to talk to him about it a little earlier this week. We had a phone call, and his take on it is very interesting. I have nothing but respect for this dude right here. He is the 2-time Bassmaster Classic champ. He's a heavy hitters champ. He's won a bunch of crap, okay? He probably qualified for the regional this year, all right? I mean, he got his points up for the regional. Ladies and gentlemen, Baker's dad, Jordan Lee. All right, as promised, he's making his way back to the Bassmaster Elite Series, and he's doing the podcast roundup. He says he's old news, but I don't believe that. Ladies and gentlemen, the champ, Jordan Lee. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Yeah, appreciate you having me. Yeah, I'm working on being old news, at least in my mind right now. But, you know, we'll get on here and have fun. I appreciate you having me.
Well, we had a Christmas episode I did with you last year, so it's only fitting that another holiday week you are the Thanksgiving special for Low Budget Live. So I guess this is a thing now. We just do holidays together.
Holidays, we work on holidays. Yeah, and I know you wanted to get Kristen on here, but she said she has an appearance fee that I didn't know about. So yeah,
you probably don't, but you've probably been paying it for a while.
yeah, I think she's worked that into her contract. So you know, she's like that appearance fee's got to be met before she jumps on a podcast.
Well, you and I talked about that. We text back and forth about Kristen coming on because I do think, and she's going to owe me one. I'll pay an appearance fee, but I had my wife on the show last week, and you and I talked about this. I think sometimes that we focus on you, right, Jordan Lee and the angler, but man, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, and you see Facebook comments and Instagram comments and different things while all this is going on and these big life-changing decisions are made. And I just thought it would be cool to get her perspective. So she owes me an LBL, a no holds barred LBL.
Yeah, she definitely owes you. Yeah. It's cool to see a different perspective for sure. you know, I mean, for all anglers, I think it'd be a great idea to get guys better halves on to kind of, you know, get their side of things on it all, because it is a family oriented deal, and you know, they make decisions along with us for sure.
Well, it's just like any job change, right? Like when you went from the elites to BPT at the time, that was a huge, huge move for all you guys that made that. It was mm-hmm. the unknown. It was stepping off a cliff to a certain extent. You're leaving where you made your career through college bass and then on the Elite Series, winning classics, to go there and then to slide back over there now is certainly, I mean, those are big, big changes. And dude, I'll be honest, I haven't watched. I know you've done some podcasts, but you and I had a brief conversation the other day on the phone. I enjoyed you. And my favorite thing is you said, look, dude, I'm a customer. I'm paying my entry fees, and I'm just looking forward to mixing it up really with a new crowd, right? I mean, you've not fished against a lot of the guys that are on the Elite mm-hmm. Series.
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously the fishing world's small. You know a lot of guys. You talk to them on and off, see them. You don't see them very often. You know, like, I mean, all the guys over there, you see them a couple times a year max. But that was really the hardest thing for me throughout it all, really, was knowing, well, number one was how was this change for me going to negatively impact guys on the Bass Pro Tour, because it's going to look negative to MLF. Like, Jordan Lee's leaving, things are going downhill. But, you know, and that's one thing I kept in mind throughout it all, because those are all my buddies too that are fishing.
Of course.
They're at Major League Fishing that I fished against for a long time. So I know that's not going to be a positive thing. That's the one thing that was really, you can't do anything about it, but it was going through my mind like, yeah, this is not going to look great. I know that, but I hate that. And that's why, you know, in my short video, I wanted to make it 30 minutes long. And I was like, you know, that's what these podcasts can be for, is to really let the public know that, look, this is not a shots fired on anybody. I want, like you do, you know, you talk about the news in MLF and there's always drama going on, but you want it to succeed. That's because that's where a lot of our friends make living, you know, fishing tournaments. That's where I've made a living, fishing tournaments, for the last 5 years. So that was one of the hardest things, just how that was going to impact. It wasn't going to change the, you know, how MLF's ran or anything like that. It's just for the guys over there. I know it's not going to look good when they look at my comments and, you know, on social media, it's like, man, welcome back to Bass. I'm so glad you came back to Bass. And then over and over and over again, like
a lot of it.
Dang. Yeah. So
why do you think that is? I mean, because I have seen that. I've seen so many of the comments, and why do you think, and I mean, besides the obvious, I guess, that it was this big disruptor in 2019. And I think people don't like change. Right. I mean, I know I like that. The company I've worked for, they've been bought out a couple of times. Nobody likes change. It's very much easy. Nobody likes it. But why do you think so many fans? I mean, I get Bass as the OG, but I've seen those comments. It's overwhelming. There's a lot of that. Back where you belong. Welcome back. Why do you think the fans think that way and not just because they're obviously Jordan Lee fans and they were definitely watching you over here. But why do you think they're so excited?
You know, I just think it's just like you said, like the fishing fans, it's hard to persuade fans of a sport that's such a niche sport to, you know, persuade them to go watch something else that's totally different, you know, like Major League Fishing has been. I just think that, honestly, that's probably the main thing. And, you know, a lot of the fans that have been around it a long time, like you said, Bass is the OG. It's the, you know, tournament organization that's been around since it started. So I just think once you get outside that, you know, a new circuit, any new circuit that comes along, it's just going to be probably second place, You know, there's not there. I don't think there's an organization, and the fans are just very loyal to that. You know, if it's NFL, XFL, I mean, if all the best players in the NFL go to the XFL, and there's a little different format, then, you know, there's going to be people watch, obviously. We're going to tune in on it. Be like, man, I want to see Aaron Rodgers throw to whoever, you know, at the XFL. Just
crazy
you
rules.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Crazy rules. Yeah, you're going to watch it just to see what's up. And maybe after a while, you know, it's not the same. And you're like, man, I just want to watch football. And, you know, I've never really used that analogy, but that's kind of what I think. And that's why you see so many comments and, you know, of saying that, just because it's what overall the hardcore fishing fans want to watch.
No doubt about it. And man, I can remember podcasts I did before I started putting them on YouTube, but just audio podcasts talking about bass in those first BPT days and that they were in trouble. I mean, that was the overall feel. It was like, man, all these names went, and to see that they hung on, new stars were born essentially, right? Through that new deal. And it does show you that what brand power comes with the name Bassmaster in our world, man. It's what magazine did you grow up reading? Bassmaster. What are you a lifetime member of? You know what I mean? Like you and I'm a lot older than you. I'm older than dirt now, but yeah, man, it's Bassmaster. It's Bassmaster on TV. That was the buzzword, even though we were fishing FLWs and BFLs and Redman's, different things. Yeah. Coming up, but Bassmaster was it. The classic was it, man, for growing up for years and years and years. And so it is crazy to think that they dodged that huge bullet of so many folks leaving. And then the dust kind of settled, man, and they got their footing. And it's kind of like I compare it to MPFL in a way of people were like, well, I don't know any of these guys. And that was, there were a lot of those comments, right, with the Elite Series after the split. But it's the same thing as MPFL in. Man, there are stars in every league, right? There are guys that can catch them, hammer down, that are absolute superstars, big personalities, and we've seen that with Bass. And then now you've got the Christies and the Swindles, Polinics, these guys that have, you know, Greg Hackney's and now Jordan Lee sliding back in there. What are you looking most forward to in 2024 when you kick off the first tournament? I mean, what is it that you've missed? I mean, I know you're a five fish guy, obviously. You succeeded in the Every Fish Counts format, but I think deep down you're old school. You do like five, not to speak for you on that, but I know you were for the change last year at BPT.
Yeah.
Is it going back? Is it having weigh-ins? Is it having blast off? I mean, what are you most looking forward to next season?
I think the most, it's probably not one thing that I could put my hand on, but you know, the one thing when I had a really good event at Major League Fishing, or even when I won, man, it was exciting. I knew that I won on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a cool feeling, like, hey, I just won a tournament. But, you know, there wasn't anybody and I knew this from the get-go. You know, I knew this from the very beginning because I won the first tournament that Major League Fishing put on. But, you know, I couldn't share it with, you know, it wasn't that, and Brandon said it too, like, you know, he said it, I remember in one of the first the meetings we had in MLF, or maybe it was halfway through the year, and it's like, you know, we don't have that winning moment. And I've always, you know, like, you know, when you win a Bassmaster tournament, or really any other tournament there is, you know, you're in front of people, whether it's 100 people, 1,000 people, you know. For us bass fishermen, 1,000 people looks like 100,000 people.
No doubt,
You know, when you win an event like that, man, it's really a cool feeling. It's just like something you just take, and you can't recapture it. But man, in the moment when you're holding that trophy up, and you know there's a bunch of people there, and you feel important in a way, like kind of not really an ego deal, but that's the one thing. Like I've missed, you know, I've only won a few events, but, you know, I have missed that when you'd actually do have a really good week. And, you know, and even seeing it for other guys too, when they win and not having that winning, you know, feeling moment. That's just something that's special that you just remember for a long time. And that's one thing, which I'm not saying I'm going to feel that this year, hopefully, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to having a good day. And, you know, you come in, you weigh them in, you're like, man, that was awesome. Just that kind of that feeling. I don't know. That's really it's not really, you know, anything else, because there's things about MLF, like I do love, you know, catching them and putting them back and not having to worry about, you know, fish all day. And you're looking back there, and I'm always looking back there, like, you know, making sure they're okay and babying the fish and stuff like that. Like, that was really cool. But on the flip side of that, you didn't have that feeling, that selfish winning feel moment, or when you do really well, or that excitement. So,
or that anxiety,
really probably what I'm looking for.
And I love the score tracker. I do. Like, I think that's a cool element. I love watching guys spin out when they get an update. I like watching the strategy that comes in. If you got a big lead, or if you're way out of it, I love that. But I'm old school as well. And I do think there's something very special if you're Jordan Lee and you come in and you hear you got to have 12-3 to win. And you're like, okay, well, my scale said this in the boat, and I think they weigh 13. I hope they weigh 13. But when that gets called 13-2 and you win, that feeling when you're a fisherman, a fish head, like that's one that is very, very hard to replace, especially as a guy that's won two classics. So I get that. And that's something that I was critical of MLF a few times, because it is weird. It's like, and Jordan, you just won. Congratulations. And it is like, I'm sure it feels awesome in the moment. You're like, I just beat all these guys, but still it is all live sporting events or pro events have, in whether it's baseball, football, whatever, they have moments that we all remember. Mercer calling out unbelievable will always be one of those moments, right? Mm-hmm. For you in your life, for the sport. Like, I can hear it. But that is one of those things that makes, I think, weigh-ins and events like the Classic so special. So what will you miss about the Bass Pro Tour, other than Alton Jones Jr. and in your dance videos with him over there?
Other than seeing the guys that I've been around, we had fun. I think some days, which the off days and all that are probably, they're hoping to get away from that at MLF, I think, in 25 or who knows, but that's what they're wanting to do, is, you know, do a multi, straight through tournament. When you're, you know, beat from after 3 days of fishing, sometimes it is nice to, you know, not wake up. I guess the thing I'm going to miss MLF the most probably would be, you know, the weigh and release. As far as from a tournament aspect, that's probably it, just for the fact of not having to worry about anything other than fishing. And probably the one thing, maybe not catching him, let him go, but probably the run back in deal.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm gonna have to think about that. That was, you know, you can run, there's guys, you know, you look at Keith Poche running all the way up Douglas up to the dam because he didn't have to run back. It's not a normal tournament. But
that's right.
The fact of him not having to run back, or, you know, you not having to check time, anything like that. Like, I wasn't ever worried about time. How much time do I got left? You know, that would never went through your mind, is like, okay, calculating the time. That's something I'm going to have to I'm really going to have to take all that in consideration again, is like, I got to make it back and check in. I got to make sure my boat's fast, you know, all the little things that go into tournament fishing. But that's probably the biggest one I'm going to miss, is the, you know, lines out.
And you got to think about mechanical issues could pop up if you hit something, if you spin a hub, like all those things. You don't wake it back to weigh in, you're 15 minutes late. I mean, that is one thing I say. I love that in inclement weather, what they did with being able to put in at different ramps. I thought that was awesome. I love the lines in, lines out deal. Because, I mean, you think about like Chris Lane this year winning in a buzzer beater. That's a normal tournament. That never happens. He does not win because down on Kissimmee, he would already been headed back to Big Toho Marina, most likely where most of the events go out of. So I think that that is a very cool format. And I hope that there's a way, you know, somehow in the future, it'd be cool if we could trailer to one place. You know what I mean? Like a trailered way in kind of thing. There's probably a way to do it. MPFL did it at Lake Cumberland last year in some crazy flood conditions. So it can certainly be done with a standard tournament. It just takes a little more effort from a logistics standpoint, but it can certainly be done. But I think that's a really cool part of what they got going on. Let me ask you this. Other than the fact that you do owe Larry Nixon a Christmas gift, I'm guessing, if this was how you were leaning, and then the general said sayonara, are you buying the general something for Christmas? Are you getting him?
I honestly need to. I need to get his address. If you got it, send it to me.
I'll get it to you.
I need to reach out to Larry for sure. And you know, hopefully there's some good little good juju from Larry Nixon's legend spot taking his. That's some big shoes to fill on that end. But I definitely owe him. I owe him something. I don't know what I don't know. What would you get Larry for Christmas?
I don't know. I don't know what you would get him. He loves a spinning rod these days, but I guess he may only be using those for crappie fishing this winter since he's hanging it up. Big duck hunter, big deer hunter. But I can imagine with a guy like Larry, he's got every single thing he could ever want for that. And so then some.
That's like fishermen. What do you buy a fisherman for Christmas? It's so hard because we got everything, or we know exactly what you can't go buy a fisherman a new setup. It's got to be something, maybe some sends mistakes to his house.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Get it some Snake River Farms or something. Send him some Wagyu. He's probably got that too, knowing Larry. He's probably got a hookup on that. I have not thought about that from the perspective of Jordan. That's very much a changing of the guard moment right there, is that you're essentially taking Nixon's spot. That's pretty heavy, dude. I'm not gonna lie. I haven't really processed it like that because it's just a spot in the field. But I'm like, it's pretty heavy when you think about it. He is, the first ever bass fishing millionaire. Obviously, just incredible. And such a good dude. Are you gonna room good with person. Joey Fuentes? Since that was his roommate. You rooming with Joey C?
I ain't got a call. Yeah, I don't think he'd probably rather room with Larry than me, you know, especially if I got a 2-year-old running around screaming, yelling. I'm sure he'd be like, you know, Jordan, I think you can get the next place on your own. So I don't know how many guys are really going to want to room with me, but
I was going to ask that. Do you have travel plans? Kristen and Baker going with you on the road next year?
Yeah, they're probably going to go with me at least, I would say, half of them. See how it goes this year. That's what we've done in the past. It works great. And, you know, I like rooming by myself a lot of times, just where I don't get into that dock talk. And even I'm going to tell some anglers probably at Bassmaster this year, you know, I know a lot of guys talk on the phone. I'm not that guy. I don't want to know if you've caught 50 pounds or zero. You know, you can maybe get a judge of, you know, is the fishing, we pretty much know what it's going to take, you know, in tournaments. Yeah. Like, you know, 20 pounds is probably not going to be leading, but it's going to be doing decent. No. You know, 15 is going to be probably a lot of check ranges, maybe a little less than that. But the dock talk is really, I've tried to get away from that and talking. Well, we can't really talk about specifics, you know, spots or anything, or we couldn't at MLF. Just throwing that out there, but I like rooming by myself where I'm not, you know, feeling a certain way, going into a tournament, or, you know, just based on somebody else's practice or anything like that. I know a lot of guys probably love it, but I just like kind of staying on my own and just doing my own thing.
I think it can train wreck you at times, depending on the kind of person you are. I know some people make it work to their advantage. You see these little groups that certainly knock it out. I mean, I think about on MPFL this year, we saw it with Trent Palmer, Patrick Walters, and Mike Corbishley, and those guys were crushing it, and they shared 99% of everything they found, and that works for some. They're talking in practice. For me, it's always strange, and I had people that I could trust, but when you're on one end of the lake doing your own thing that you want to be doing, and somebody calls and goes, dude, up the river, I just had 27 bites, and that's 30 miles from where you're at in practice. And I'm like, oh, and you're having a slow day doing what you want to do. That's rough to hear. And it gets those gears turned. I never really liked that. I mean, somebody throwing you a bone every now and then can help, but man, I always, if I was going to catch them, I wanted to do it on my own. If I was going to fail, I wanted to go down in flames on my own. But that sometimes you just spread yourself so thin in those situations, especially with only like basically 2.5 days of practice in the elites too.
Yeah. You know, out of the two tournaments I've won, like the last two that I've won at MLF, but this year at St. Clair, you know, that tournament could not practice in Canada, had to pretty much gamble everything on Canada just in the tournament off of sheer hope and prayers that you were going to land on some fish. But if I would have, you know, and I knew that's what I was going to do, I told myself, I'm doing it, I don't care. But if I talked to a bunch of guys in practice and they're like, man, we're catching 20, 22 a day over here in the U.S. side, catching a bunch of numbers, and I knew fish were going to get caught over there, you know, it could have swayed me, be like, man, I need to just stick over here and just play it safe. I wouldn't have won that tournament. And, you know, even when you're on them really good, if you're trying to be 100% transparent and you really find something special and you feel bad, like, you don't want to tell them, like, man, I found something a little different. You know, I don't really want to tell you, but you've told me everything. And that's where friendships too can get hurt.
Yes.
You know, guys, it happens all the time. It's where, mm-hmm. you know, well, you didn't tell me you were catching fish like this. Well, you know, I didn't want you to, you know, didn't want the word to get out and all that. So it's like, and I know it happens, but I try not to let that, you know, get in, because that's a tough situation, you know, when you have that come up.
Well, when you're trying to make the regional, Joe, it gets tense out there. Trying to make the regional is tough.
Yeah. It's tough. Got to get points for that regional.
Points. Hey, thanks for coming. Got you some good points for the regional. Good points towards the regional. It was funny. Our Waymaster at MPFL this year, Big Al. See you at the next one.
Yeah, see you at the next one.
He was saying that, though, on
one fish, 2 pounds. You got some good points for the regional.
So many times in my life I've heard that. You got you some good points towards that regional. Yeah. Look forward to seeing you at Neely Henry.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Neely Henry in July.
Yeah, Neely in July. It'll be great. Fish fest. Everybody's going to smash.
Yeah.
Almost like Smith the last week of June on the Elite Series.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Did you forget that you had to do that? Brutal. You went back, and now you've got to fish. You've got to fish Smith the last week of June during the day.
In the day, yeah. Maybe it's a night tournament. Maybe I hadn't looked at the, you know, at the SOEs on that. You know, maybe Smith, they're going to rethink their decision and change it to night.
Listen, I think with technology the way it is now, they're missing a golden opportunity to have the first ever Elite Series after dark. We can watch. There's night vision and all this stuff. So good. Let's do Bassmaster Live after dark. I'm begging. Let's do it at Smith. It's the perfect place.
Imagine.
Oh, it'd be epic. It would be so much fun.
It would be epic. Yeah, it'd be a lot more. It'd probably be a lot more enjoyable. At least you wouldn't feel like you were going to die. Maybe if it was at night, but that's going to be one of those ones you're going to.
We were down there during that.
That's going to be one that you might just. Yeah, you're not just trying to survive the tournament and go catch fish. You're trying to survive like, man, I want to go home to my family to, you know, tonight after I get done. So
when little Trey and I were out there during that ABT 100 that you fished against us there a couple weeks ago, and it was a beautiful day in November, and there's wakeboard boats and people are tubing and the water temperature is like 62. There are people everywhere. And I said, think about what this is going to look like. Dude, there are, we're out there fishing on a point. Somebody almost runs over us with a ski boat. And you're like, then a pontoon comes this way. And you're like, dude, the last week of June is going to be rowdy down here in Coleman, Alabama.
Dude, it does not matter where you are. I mean, it's going to be that tournament. I don't think anybody's going to remember that tournament for like a fish catch or anything like that. It's probably going to be remembered just by the sheer fact of the Sea-Doos and the jet skis and, you know, I don't know the last time they. Yeah, it's going to be insane.
Do you, all kidding aside, because I was texting Wiggins about that when the schedule came out, and I'm like, dude, what's that going to take, like, weight-wise? What's that going to look like? He goes, I don't know. I don't fish there during the day that time of year. He said, I'm anxious to see what they do, but what do you think that tournament will look like weight-wise for 4 days?
Man, yeah. See, I don't fish Smith from May to September. That's like, I just don't go out there because – the boat traffic and the fishing, it sucks. You know, you can go to, you know, summertime, you go right down the road to Gunnersville if you want to go catch some fish, you know, in Wheeler or Pickwick or whatever, you know. I mean, especially the last week in June. But, I mean, dude, I'm thinking, you know, 12, I mean, probably not even 13 a day, maybe. It's, you know, I mean, maybe 13 a day max to win, you know, maybe a little bit more, but I don't know. I mean, that's just, dude, I mean, 13 a day would be, well, that'd be 50, low 50s for 4 days. Yeah. I mean, that'd be pretty solid.
Yeah. If you can do that 4 days straight on that pond. Solid. Yeah. I feel like that's pretty stout. But man, looking at the schedule, though, you got to be pumped up. I know you love Wheeler. Obviously, Wheeler's one of the – I mean, you've cut your teeth on that pond just like you have Smith. I mean, having those back-to-back has got to be pretty daggum exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, Wheeler, I was laughing. One of my best friends, I talked to him a lot, Slick Johnson. Everybody, a lot of people know Slick. He's the TikTok star now.
The self-proclaimed Wheeler King, too.
The self-proclaimed Wheeler King is what his tag says.
That's what the tag
said. And yeah, I was laughing at him because I'm like, literally my best friend fishes out there all the time. And I don't go out there as, you know, I go out there every now and then, mess around. You know, I just don't go to Wheeler like, hey, I'm going for a week straight. And, you know, but he knows everything out there. He knows every stick, stump, whatever. And I don't know where any of that is. And I'm like, man, that would have been really nice to know, like, you know, like a year ago. Yeah. But I mean, it's Tennessee River in the summer, you know, it can get people on top of each other. And if you got to figure out something new and something different. But I'm excited about staying at home, fishing close, back to, you know, both of those tournaments. That's going to be awesome. I mean, even if the fishing's really tough or if I do good or not great, whatever. I mean, it's being close is there's nothing like that.
Short of having Gunnersville on there too, I think you're going to be okay. I think that was definitely a carrot that Bass was waving when they called and said, hey, Joe, we got this legend spot open. I think you look at that schedule and you go, you know, yeah, I think I'll come back.
Yeah, you see Coleman, Alabama on the schedule, you're like, man, yeah. I probably ought to fish if I can. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, what time of year, but I mean, being that it's going to be like extremely tough probably and whatever, I'm hoping that I can pull something, you know, out of the hat. I mean, especially for Smith, like that is the lake, you know, you see Wiggins all the time. I mean, if he was in it, you would just hand him the check.
Just, yeah, here's the truth. Just take
pretty much, but
just put his name on it. Yeah.
Yeah, you just hand it to them. I'm not that dominant out there, but I normally can catch fish and figure out a pattern. So I'm crossing my fingers on that one that we can at least, you know, I mean, but you know, Smith, it's God can kill you too. It's one of those lakes that just can.
I mean,
as much as you know and whatever, I mean, it can be brutal.
I think it is I think that's what's so impressive about what Jesse and Jordy do there. And I've said this on the show many times, to be that dominant there, because they are. And we've seen guys like Craig Daniel be dominant there over the years, Jackie Flack. But, dude, to be what they are throughout the year, all the time, on that body water, because it is the most fickle. I love Smith. It's one of my favorite lakes. But, dude, it will burn you to the ground. Those fish burn. You can feel like you know nothing about a bass if you fish Smith like three straight days in a row, right? And you may have one day you're like, this is going down. And you try to do the exact same thing the next day. And a lot of times it's just like, that's not happening again today, Bubba. Good luck. And that's what's so amazing about the Wiggins boys. Shout out to the Wiggins for coming and kicking our teeth in the ABT 100.
You know, I just thought of a good idea too. I need to set up a apparel shop, kind of like I think Scott Martin does it at the tournaments. It's just going to be the This Lake Sucks apparel at Smith Lake only, you know. And so the anglers can come off. I'm going to give the anglers a discount. I'm going to give them a discount code. They can buy the shirt if they want to. Maybe do a little sponsor deal if they wear it on stage. Because they're going to a lot of that. That's going to be set a lot that week.
I think that you're missing a real opportunity to do the first ever Jordan Lee contingency program, where the lowest finishing angler wearing the This Lake Sucks hat at Smith gets $500.
I like that. That's a good thought. Great thought.
Every Elite Series, if you're watching this, Elite guys, you can hit Jordan up, order a shirt. 500, but maybe LBL pays the 500, the This Lake Sucks bonus for Smith, because Smith can suck sometimes, and it will suck that week. I don't care what anybody tells you. Don't look at me, lowlifers. I'm looking straight at you in the camera. If Bassmaster tells you that's going to be a good one, it is not. It might be a good one for Jordan Lee, but that one is going to suck.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
Can you imagine if forward facing sonar didn't exist and you had to fish that?
No.
Dude. Oh my goodness. Well, speaking of that's something that I kind of had in my crawl to talk to you about a little bit. Is that's something you seem like you've adopted, obviously, and you're getting better with it all the time. And obviously it's here to stay. I don't see any tournament trail taking it away, but I remember, I guess it was, when were you guys on Smith? Was it last year in BPT? I think it was last spring in BPT, and you made the final round. It was like you and Jacob and a couple more. But I remember you talking about you were trying to get better with it then. I remember watching you on live, and you were saying how much time you had spent trying to get better. So has it really just been in the last year or two that you've really started focusing on that?
Yeah. Really, really trying to get better at it, but it's still, you know, I think a lot of it now that I've done it for, you know, I think everybody's pretty decent with it, can see fish, and some guys have a little tricks up their sleeve, but I think it's the guys that go to places that are, you know, untraditionally, like you said, like Florida, you know, that capitalize it. And you're talking about Patrick being so good with it, him going to, you know, down there to Florida and jerk baiting and live scoping, like I'll probably be over there punching grass and, you know, trying this and trying that. And so I'm not 100% like on it, but man, it seems like that's really working for a lot of guys. And, but I am getting better with it and, you know, trying to, no matter where I go, trying to play it into the game and, you know, cause you know, that's how guys are going to win tournaments now. So, you know, no matter if it's a Florida-ish lake or wherever, like just mixing it in somehow, you know, you kind of have to. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, get better at it, but I'm definitely not quote unquote a scoper, as they call them.
If you ain't scoping, you're hoping, they say, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to put it, if I'm at certain lakes, I'm going to put it into it all day, but man, it's tough for me to go to certain lakes. Like, you know, like you said, the Floridas, and just no matter what, just doing that. Like, but guys are, you know, that's how they're doing it right now. So we'll see.
Yeah. Jordan Lee likes to flip a big weight around every now and then. You like to throw a big weight.
I like to do cool stuff. I like to throw a frog. You know, I'm not watching them come up on a frog, you know, I mean, so yeah, there's a lot of those scenarios where I'm going to be like, no, I'm setting it down. I don't care if I get beat. I don't care if I, you know, if they're biting a frog or if I get a couple bites flipping this year, I'm going to be like, yep, y'all can have it out there and just do that. So,
yeah, I'm with that. I love it, but at the same time, there ain't nothing better than just going down the bank and catching one on a frog, catch one on an old buzzer, skipping a jig, yeah, under a dock. That's always going to be bass fishing to me at its core. It's a really good time. But if you're coming up in this sport and if you're trying to make it to the level where you're going to compete against Jordan Lee, you better get good with it. I'm just telling you, yeah, you better get as good with it as you can. And, you know, and
like going to Champlain this year, you know, it's in August and those guys fished there last year, obviously around that time. I'm not that guy that's going to be like, man, the largemouth are biting. I'm going to go catch 40 of those and, you know, have fun flipping and frogging. Like, I know I'm going to get killed. So I'm not like that, you know, far deep into it where, you know, there may be one or two couple checks, got guys doing that, but man, you know, if you got to get out there in the mix, you got to, or it's just not going to be worth your time.
No, I get it. And you can be a little stubborn. You're like me, you can be a little stubborn, but I think you're learning in your, how old are you right now, Jordan Lee? How old are you getting this Legends?
32.
Old man.
32 with the old, you know, I mean, so I'm right there, you know, I'm on the brink. I'll tell you this though, the gray hairs are coming quick. I mean, they are quick.
You have a kid, man. You have a youngin', gray hairs come. Ask Dr. Lee himself. He'll tell you that. That's when the gray hairs show up.
Yeah, no doubt. Dude, they come in quick when you have a youngin' pop up. There's no doubt. So
Does Dr. Lee, is he ever going to get Baker a pet beaver to keep in the bathtub? Do you think?
I can't believe you remember. Well, I'm not surprised you remember that. I forgot I told you that, but
so great.
You know, that's probably not what Baker needs. Baker probably does not need a pet beaver right now. That would be tough. Yeah, what Luke's talking about, y'all, is he's giving me some stuff over. My dad, he's a veterinarian, and when I was younger, he had a client bring a pet beaver in, or it was actually a beaver that got hurt. Well, Dad took it and took it home to us, and he was trying to rehabilitate it, and you know, something was wrong with its leg, and anyway, so we had a pet beaver for months, and this beaver would sleep, you know, in the same bed as where I was at, like just like a dog would, you know, go to the bathroom in the tub. And so, yeah, I mean, we had some cool pets, but the beaver, man, that topped the cake.
Were they aggressive? Is a beaver aggressive? Do you have to worry about a beaver biting you? I mean, what's the deal when you got a pet beaver in the bed? I mean,
Dude, it was not aggressive. It was pretty chill. God, I'd love to have a beaver again. That was really cool. Now that I think about it, but it did bite me on the finger, on the tip of my finger. But not super hard. I mean, this thing was a baby. You know, it was small. It wasn't like a full grown.
I'm thinking about one of them. You see, just kaboosh with his tail.
Yeah. No, this was a baby. This was a baby beaver, Luke. It was not a giant muskrat type.
You didn't specify that on the Boats and Pros episode we did years ago. You didn't specify.
I want to get your imagination. I want to get your imagination running and get you thinking about this beaver.
I'm so glad James Watson isn't on this podcast right now. So glad.
Yeah, you're right.
This is just ammo. You'd just be throwing him ammo. His feeble mind
would handle
all these beaver references. He'd never be able to handle it.
Oh, he'd be knocking the beaver.
I'm struggling myself. I'm struggling myself. Oh, my goodness. That's so good, dude. I loved it. I mean, we're idling around doing Boats and Pros, and you're like, we're talking about your family and family history and things. And then you said that about the pet beaver. And I'm like, wait a second. What did you just say to me right now? Yeah,
you lost it.
I never knew about you. Yeah, it was amazing, dude. It's my favorite Jordan Lee. So low lifers at home, take notes on that. That could be trivia at some point in your life. I mean, no other bass fishing show is bringing you that. Trust me. You're getting the beaver goods right here.
No, that's the nitty gritty.
That's as nitty gritty as it gets. All right, buddy, a couple more things and I will let you get back to it. It's the week of Thanksgiving, man. So I know you're spending some time with fam, and I appreciate you taking the time to hang with me and the low lifers. How was it? I have to ask this, going back to the MLF thing. How was it whenever you call up old White Rod himself, old Duckett, you call him up and you say, "Hey man, listen, here's the deal. I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. And I'm going back to I'm taking my talents back to Bassmaster." Is that how you did it? I'm sure it's not. How was that conversation?
You know, I called Kathy Fennell first. I told her what I was doing. She was the first person I decided to call. I was going to call her. I was going to call Boyd. Kathy was, you know, obviously just super nice. I mean, just as nice as she could be. She was, you know, she was like, I hate it. I hate that you're leaving. And, you know, she didn't say I wish you wouldn't, but she was like, I hope the best for you. Just totally respectful. Short conversation. I told her, look, I'm going to be fishing, you know, some Toyotas probably. I'm probably jumping a couple BFLs. This is nothing to do with Jordan Lee just X-ing off major league fishing, you know. Didn't want to go out anything like that. I told her, look, this is not a negative thing for me. And I just wanted to let them know that. And then I called Boyd shortly after, you know, I talked to Kathy, and, you know, Boyd was the same way. And he's like, "Jordan, you know, if you ever thought I was going to be mad at you for this, you know, you thought wrong. I mean, this is, you know, you need to do what's best for you." And he's like, "Go win another classic, and, you know, go kick ass." I mean, that's pretty much what he said. So he didn't say, like, yeah, you know,
Lee, there wasn't a bunch of that.
No, there wasn't a bunch of that. You know, people give Boyd a bad rap overall.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things, you know, business-wide. Yeah, there's a lot of things business-wise that, you know, could be questionable. Major League Fishing could be questionable. But whatever he does is his own business. But when it comes to, like, the anglers, like, I don't feel like he's not laying in bed not being like, man, you know,
not like this,
wishing,
like,
bad on somebody or whatever.
Yeah, like,
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean – that's my take, and he was nothing but nice to me. So, he always has been.
Let me ask you this: so last year, and I mentioned this earlier in the show before, on the intro before I got to having Jordan Lee on here and on this fine podcast. What are they going to do with you as far as Red Crest goes? I know in your video you said you're fishing Red Crest. I know Bobby Lane last year, they didn't let him fish because he wasn't a BPT angler. Will you get to fish heavy hitters and Red Crest?
Yeah. So one thing after Bobby, we took a look at the rules the angler board did, which I was a part of. That's one rule that we got changed to where if anglers retire, they qualify and, you know, decide to leave, that they'll be able to fish that event. So, you know, guys like Kevin Van Dam, he's leaving. You know, I don't know who other else qualified. I know. But anyway, yeah, so we got that change, which I think's great. If you qualify for an event, it shouldn't matter where you fish. You qualified for it, you fish it. And also, I think they have guys, you know, winning different events, like, you know, if you want an invitational event, you got to, you know, fish the Red Crest. So anyways, we got to change to where that would is all good.
So you'll get to fish those two events plus the elites, and then hoping this year you make the classic, get back in that 2025 classic, have a chance at number three. I mean, I'm just saying there's a couple guys that have won four of those, you know, maybe you need to win five. We need Joe Lee to go out 40 years from now to let in some other young guy. When you step out of your legend spot, we need you with five classics. No pressure, no big deal.
Yeah. It'll be way before 40. I'll tell you that, but yeah, I would love, that's my goal. That's my number one goal this year. It's not to win the points, to win the tournament. That's my number one goal, is to get back to the classic. If I'm the last guy in, you know, that's what I'm going to really focus on, and maybe not swing in every tournament and just trying to catch fish consistently. But, you know, we'll see.
I think you'll be okay. I think it's going to be a little bit different than your rookie year. I think you'll be a little more comfortable. I think you'll do fine. Just stay away from Justin Atkins. You hear me? Stay away from him. He's bad juju. Just steer clear Justin Atkins.
Yeah, good call. I'll remember that. I hadn't thought about that, but I'll remember that in the back of my head.
Yeah. Just make sure you steer clear of him. All right, one last thing, buddy, and I'll let you roll. What did Matt say? And I know it's your brother. He's happy for you. Obviously, it's that make your, you know, like you said, Boyd told you what's best for you and your family. But, man, he's over there. Now you're going back to the Elite Series. And you guys have really fished everything together, I would say, for the last several years. So what did Matt say about this decision?
Yeah, you know, I called Matt kind of as soon as I got word, really, that, you know, you could take this, you know, Legends exemption. And I was like, man, I was like, if you were me, what would you do? Like, you know, you're pretty much, you know, you're good on the points with MLF. But, you know, me and Matt just, like you said, we fished every year together from 2015 mm-hmm. till now. And competed against each other, I should say. But we were just talking about it. He's like, he knows, like, and he's the same way. Like, we just want to fish normal tournaments. We want to go pay our money and just fish a tournament series where, you know, you don't have the drama and, you know, you bring him in. And if you, it doesn't matter if you bring him in, just want to fish pretty much just normal. And he knows that and about me. And he's like that as well. We were both, you know, I feel like if me and it from the get go, we were always on the same page. Like, and he's like, dude, he's like, I think if it was me, you know, it's a tough call. You're paying Bass pretty much the same as you're paying MLF.
No doubt.
But I would probably go back. I'd probably go back and you know, do it. I mean, that's so he pretty much said the green light, you know, he wasn't throwing up any irrational comments or anything. He's just like, yeah, dude, I think it's probably would do it.
Well, brotherly love at its best, man. Matt's a good one. I got to get Matt on the show. I've never had Matt on. I got to try to.
You need to.
Boy on here. I like me some Matt Lee, obviously. The Lee
you boy. Need to get Matt on here. He's got a lot of interesting takes, and Matt's way smarter than I am, than I'll ever be. I will say that about my brother. He's got a really high IQ. He knows what's up. He's smart. And, you know, he's got two engineering degrees. So, I mean, he's not he's
no dummy.
He's a smart guy. Yeah. He's not a dummy. He's a smart guy. He's, you know, and I love my brother, and you know, I'm going to miss, but I mean, yeah, he's going to be like 20 minutes from him. So if I really miss him, I'll drive down the road, but
just go see him. Yeah. I'm, you know what? I think overall Lee Lee's boys did okay, man. What do you think?
We did all right. Yeah, yeah, we did all right.
We're doing all right. No doubt about it, dude. And I'll say this, if you're anywhere near North Alabama, you're going to want to be at those weigh-ins around Coleman during that the elite, because I think there's going to be a crowd there to see Jordan Lee. I guarantee you, no matter how you're doing in the event, those are going to be some fun weigh-ins down there.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That's something I'm looking forward to. Just like you said, no matter how it goes, having the first elite on Smith, which is crazy to think that there were the last top level terminal Smith was probably a top 150 or something. There's obviously been opens there, but maybe before the elites. So that'll be cool to be a part of for
and
sure.
This was one out of the park, right? They're not going out of the dam. They're going out of Smith Lake. Yeah.
Going out of the park. So that'll be fun. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that one's going to be a good time. I'm hoping that I'm in.
It's not going to be fun. The fishing's not going to be fun. The experience on the water is not going to be fun at all. I'm just telling y'all, it's not. But everything else is going to be fun.
I'm planning on doing getting a tri-tune or like some big badass Mastercraft and doing Low Budget Live on the water during that, just bumping some Drake out there. What's up? Bringing you guys like popsicles and waters and stuff, fending off the wakeboard boats from all the guys down there. That's my plan. You heard it here first, folks. Actually, I think I have an ABT then, maybe. I think, maybe. I don't know. Got a lot of stuff going on next year. Myself, Joe Lee. It's gonna be a busy year.
It sounds like, yeah, it's gonna be busy for you. You got a lot going on.
Thank goodness for Marissa Duncan. She can keep up with all of it, because I don't even know. I know we got one in January coming up. That's all I know. But I will see you very soon, though. Our paths will cross. And I appreciate you doing it, buddy. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and tell Kristen she owes me a podcast, but I'm letting her off the hook this time.
I'll tell her. I'll figure out what the fee is. But we can go halfsies on.
All right. Jordan Lee, everybody. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Luke. See you, buddy.
Well, all right. That's all she wrote with the champ, the two-time Bassmaster Classic champ, going back to the Elite Series. He's going to be in that bag line again this year. I appreciate him joining me this week, taking some time away from family to hang with all of us lowlifers again in this week of Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that tune in, you bunch of dang lowlifers. Exciting things coming very soon. Next year is going to be wild, but we're going to close this year out with a bang. Trust me on that. We'll take you out with some Biloxi Blues, and I'll see y'all after Thanksgiving for another Low Budget Live, or not so live. I don't know. We may go live. We may not. Who knows? See y'all. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Do not eat pumpkin pie. It's trash. And cranberry sauce sucks. I'll see y'all next time.
Sweet. Never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.